Awesome, 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 awesome. Good evening, church. Come on. Who's pumped to be at church this evening? I'm pumped. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have right now to gather as your people, Lord. Lord, I pray that even as the message is preached tonight, Lord, that you may remove me, God. That you can speak through me, Lord. Use me as your mouthpiece, Lord. God, I pray for each and every person in this room. I pray, Lord, that their hearts are softened this evening and that even as the message is preached, it can land on fertile soil. I pray, Lord, that what they receive from this message, Father, doesn't stay with them, Lord, but it goes out to their families, to their colleagues, and whoever needs to hear it. I pray this in your precious name. All of God's precious children say, amen. Why don't you half ask someone and say, it's a draw. Oh, it's a draw. It's a draw. Come on. Matt is the happiest person right now. Awesome, guy. I'm pumped for tonight. Today is a standalone Sunday, and we are speaking into the next generation. But next week, please don't miss out. We are starting a brand new series called Blessed Are the Peacemakers. You do not want to miss out. It's going to be phenomenal. Then on the 21st of April, we've got baptisms happening in the building. Come on, if you haven't taken that next step to get baptized, not the 21st of it. Did I say next week? I said 21st. I'm pretty sure I said that. The 21st of April, we've got baptisms. You do not want to miss out on that. I'm going to jump straight into it, and I'm going to jump in with the question. How many of you love your jobs? Let's start looking at those hands going up. Yeah, all the staff, just want to make sure. Just want to see right here. How many of you love your jobs? Come on. I believe, as much as you guys love your job, I believe that I've got the best job in the world. I believe I've got the best job in the world. I actually think I've got the best job in ministry. I'm so sorry. Reason being, I get to deal with young people. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I'm part of a team that's helping grow youth here. And man, I just love spending time with young people. I love the idea of spending time with the next generation. I'm going to tell you a few stories a little bit later about some things that have happened in our youth. So get ready, get prepared for that. But before I jump into that, first and foremost, I want to honor all our youth pastors that have come before me. I want to honor Pastor Andre. I want to honor Matt. I want to honor the youth pastors that are not in the room. I truly believe it. I believe that my job is a little bit easier today because of the sacrifices that they've made and the sacrifices that their youth pastors made. So I'm extremely grateful for that. I reckon it would be a little bit harder if they had made certain sacrifices. So I'd love to. Can we just give it up for all our youth pastors, kids pastors? But can we first get that video? Can we show that video real quick? The video. Give it 3 seconds. Oh, there we go. Come on, can we give it up for our next gen? View Kids, View Rev, View City. Come on, we love our next gen ministries. I remember I used to be a grade 7 view group leader. Grade 7 view group leader. Chris is laughing. He knows the story. And I remember it was my first time ever leading a group. So I'm excited. Like I've had great leaders that have led me so well. And I'm like, man, I want to be an example to these kids. And I remember we were meeting in the kids hall. And at that point, we were doing a series, a relationship series at youth. And so that particular day, we so happened to have spoken about sex. And so I'm like, I'm asking the boys, boys, what did you take from the message? And they all like leaned back and like they chilled, they're having their best time. And they're like, subs, we just want to have sex. I'm like, oh my word. I'm like, okay, all right. Looks like we've got a lot of work to do here. But that was my first experience as a view group leader. I felt so unqualified in that moment. I was like, no one qualifies you for that. But what's cool, praise report, is that actually probably 90% of those boys are actually serving in the house. They've got a healthy relationship. They've got a healthy relationship with the female gender. So they're doing very, very well. Another story, one that happened at camp. Everyone was having a great time. You know, camp's great. And for some odd reason, one of our teens decides to jump the fence to get to the pool. And so as she jumps the fence, she cuts herself. And so she goes to the medic room and everything, and they get her sorted out. But they say, hey, you need to go for stitches. So I'm like, okay, cool. She's like, should we contact friends? I was like, no, we don't mind. I'll chat to the mom. We'll take her. So myself and another medic get in the car, and we take her to the hospital. And as we're driving, she just keeps apologizing. She's like, I'm so sorry for taking out of stand. I'm really sorry. Like, I'm sorry for getting hurt. I'm like, well, you should be. You know, why would you jump the fence? No, I'm joking. But, and while we're driving, she just keeps apologizing. And I turn around and I tell her, do you know what? If you had to get hurt 1,000 times, I would leave stand 1,000 times just to make sure that you are all right. And you could just see, wow, cheapest. Thank you so much for caring. And the reason I tell these stories is because I believe that you and I are supposed to fight for the next generation. I really do. I believe that we are supposed to be fighting for the next generation, which is the title of my message this evening. We did a bit of an activity last year as a youth where we gave everyone a piece of paper and we said to them, hey, it said, I wish my parents knew, ... And so we told them, hey, write it out. You don't have to put your name on there. Just throw it in the box, just so we can also have an idea of where our young people are. And they wrote it out. And can I read you some of the responses? I wish my parents knew that I'm struggling with my identity. I wish my parents knew how much I love them, even though I don't say it. I wish my parents knew how much I love the church. I wish my parents knew that I'm living in fear. I wish my parents knew that I'm struggling with lust. And I think you can go deep into them. You have others that say, I wish my parents knew that I'm struggling with anxiety. I'm struggling with depression. And so often what we can do is we can look at these problems and we can say, what is wrong with the next generation? Or we can look at it and we say, we actually don't have a problem with the next generation. We have an opportunity with the next generation. We have an opportunity to build the next generation. I'm reminded of Moses and Joshua and Caleb. And Moses picks a leader from each tribe of the Israelites, the 12 tribes, and Joshua and Caleb are among them. And they go over to the land of milk and honey. And 10 men come back. 12 men go. 10 men come back and they've got a bad report. They said, we can't go there. We can't defeat those guys. We would rather go back to Egypt. And you get Caleb and Joshua say, hey, look at what God's brought us through. We can take these guys. And what I love about Caleb and Joshua is that they were set apart. They were set apart amongst the Israelites. They were set apart amongst the 12. They were set apart. And I just wonder if we have young people or we have people that believe in the next generation that are set apart. We can easily get to the trap where we can read the bad reports and think, well, this is the next generation. Or we can have that Caleb and Joshua mindset and say, hey, we've got an opportunity to build the next generation. Are we set apart? I think sometimes we can sometimes fix our eyes on, okay, how do we build the economy? How do we build this? How do we build that? I believe the first thing that we should be doing is building the next generation. We should be building the next generation, because as soon as we start investing in the next generation, a generation that loves God, suddenly we'll see people walking into spaces with integrity. Why? Because they just love God. They're being raised up by leaders that love God. We see teachers that have integrity and that have passion. Why? Because they just love God. The next generation is the main price. It's the main price. So tonight, we're going to be going through 10 ways to fight for the next generation. 10 ways to fight for the next generation. And the first way is fight for God's word. Fight for God's word. This for me is it's one of the saddest ones, because we all grew up on the songs, Father Abraham had many sons, oh Father Abraham, and I am so what? So let's just praise the Lord. Right? Yeah. Parents know it better than what's happening, guys. But it's sad for me, because you go to schools and that's the things that we were raised up on. You go to some schools and actually that's being removed. And we see the word of God being removed. We see God being removed in some of our schools. And if our young people aren't being exposed to the word of God, what are they being exposed to? What truth are the next generation being exposed to? It says in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Everything we do flows out of our relationship with Jesus. Jesus is our cause. He is our identity. The best gift that we can give the next generation is our relationship with Jesus. And I love the idea is that sometimes we'll say, God, less of the world in me and more of me. But actually, no, it should be less of the world in me, less of me, and more of you, Jesus. More of you in my life. More of you working through me. More of you in me. There's that song. It says, clearly I'm on like a singing roll today. It says, more of you means less of me. Take every... You guys don't know that song? Good. It's a very good song. Maybe I just made it up. Who knows? But it's a really good song. It's a very, very good song. But the funny thing is, before this, I was actually trying to look it up so I can listen to it. I couldn't find it. So, it does exist. It does exist. So if anyone knows that song, please come to me afterwards. Yeah. My EP is coming out in November. Just keep an eye out for it. That's really... I figured this is the perfect space to launch my new song. Like, jokes, guys. More of you, Jesus. Less of me. Take everything. All I need is all of you. The only way you and I can become like Jesus is if you and I actually spend more time with Jesus. You can't become like someone that you actually don't spend time with. You're a product of the three closest people around you. Is Jesus one of them? Are we spending time? Are we digging into God's word and becoming more like Jesus? How can young people prioritize the word of God if you and I are not prioritizing the word of God? We have to prioritize the word of God in our lives. The second thing is that we need to fight for community. Fight for community. Matthew 28, it says, all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus speaking, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. I love the fact that Jesus didn't go back to heaven without anything. He left us with a mission. Go out into the world and make disciples. And here's the thing, church. You will be discipled. We've got view groups for you. We've got prayer teams for you. We've got people that want to help you through whatever you might be going through. You will, there's an opportunity for you to get discipled. But the mission is go out into the world and make disciples. We should be discipling our next generation. And you might be sitting here as a 17-year-old and say, yes, I want to be discipled. Actually, you can disciple too. Jesus doesn't say, no, over the age of 30, you need to start making disciples. No, go out into the world and make disciples. If you're 17, you can disciple a 16-year-old. If you're 16, you can disciple a 15-year-old. Go out into the world and make disciples. I love evangelism means showing and telling people about the good news of Jesus. So I'm showing and I'm telling the good news about Jesus. And parents with teenagers, I believe that in this season, with my job, I have the privilege of working a lot with parents. And I just added this to my notes earlier on. I really felt I needed to touch on this a little bit. I believe that in this season, I think sometimes as parents, we can, in the teenage seasons, sometimes you can want to be friends with your child and like, you know, okay, play buddy, buddy. And we sort of let them do what they need to do. But I believe in this season, particularly for teenagers, it's actually your job is sort of to direct them to a space where they can find the right community. It's putting them in environments where they can find the right friends, bringing them to church, making sure that their school friends are good friends. It's people that are speaking into their lives. And for all our parents in the room, we've actually got a program called Parents Lounge, which actually happens every second Friday during youth for all our parents with teenagers. And they meet upstairs in the boardroom and they just talk about parenting teenagers. Because we all know it's not easy, right? Amen? Amen. Then the third thing is we're going to fight using prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. I love what Dieter said this morning. He said, prayer is our first response, not our last resort. Praying for the next generation, I believe, ignites hope in the next generation. I believe if you're praying for the next generation, actually, you're going to have so much hope for the next generation. Prayer ignites hope for the next generation. We pray for the fear of the Lord, favor and protection, and godly relationships for all our young people. The fourth thing is we fight for generosity. Fight for generosity. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8 says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God wants us to live lives of generosity. He wants us to live lives of generosity. Generosity is our privilege. And I believe that even as we think of the next generation, man, we should be generous towards the next generation. We need to lead by example on what generosity is. In a world where it's sort of all about me, we need to teach our young people how to be outward focused, how to be outward looking, to always look for opportunities to be generous to others. Generosity is our privilege, and we give and we help others with no strings attached. And you might be here saying, well, I don't really have the money to give generously to the next generation. Well, You could give with time, you could give with your talent, or you could give with your treasures. Perfect opportunity to say that we've got Holiday Club coming up. Come on. Come on. Woo! And then in September, we've got Rise Camp. Woo! Yeah. But I'll be honest with you, all these things that Rise Camp, Holiday Club, they don't come for free. It takes a group of generous people saying, hey, we'll sponsor towards this. Hey, we'll sponsor towards transport. We'll sponsor towards the food. Or actually, we don't have anything to sponsor, so we'll come and cook. We'll come. That's generosity, but we're going to do it with no strings attached. Just to give you some numbers for Holiday Club, to run Holiday Club, it actually takes 30,000 Rand. And to run Rise Camp, it's actually 350,000 Rand. Come on, so we need your generosity. Come, join a, sponsor a child. Let's be generous. Let's be a generous church. I believe that even as we become generous, we raise up a generation that is generous. But it's also key to say that generosity is not your tithe. That's two different things. I don't want us to now get confused and say, oh, but Sub said I need to be generous. I paid my tithe through generosity. No. Generosity is not your tithe. The fifth thing is we need to fight for the church. We need to fight for the church. Psalms 92 verse 13 says, those planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. And just to mention that, actually some of these points, a few of them have changed, but a lot of these points are actually points that we teach our young people as well. So we teach them, hey, you need to get into God's word. We teach them, hey, you need to be generous. We teach them all these points. We also teach them, you need to be planted in the church. Because we understand that Friday nights is actually, it's a part of the bigger church. It flows into the church. And my question to us and my question to our youth on Friday was, are you planted? Are you planted? Because if you maybe don't know the vision of our house, if you maybe don't know our lead pastors, if you just come in and out and there's no relationships, my question is, are you planted in the house? Are you planted in the house? We build youth so we can build church. We build the next generation so we can build church. I love this saying that when Sunday becomes, for young people, when Sunday becomes community, Friday becomes your ministry. When we start seeing Sunday as a place for community, Friday becomes an opportunity to minister. It becomes an opportunity for ministry. The survival and the strength of the church is based on the next generation. And I love the church. I love our church. I think we're so blessed. I think we're blessed with the best lead pastors, with our best senior pastors. I think we're blessed with the best team. I honestly think we're blessed with the best leaders for the next generation. Like, I truly believe we are a blessed church. And I love our church. I love our church. The sixth thing is fight for forgiveness. Fight for forgiveness. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And I remember for me, when I was raised up, I was actually raised up by my grandmother. And I was joking around and say, I knew my dad for the first 3 days of my life. It's a big memory. And essentially, my grandmother raised me, and I remember just, I always struggled with the idea of a father. I always struggled with the idea of, and I'd go to my friend's house, and I'd see their dad sort of like playing with them, and like throwing them in the pool, and I'd think to myself, cheapest, I wonder why my dad didn't want to do these things with me. And I'd sort of at a young age, you're sort of asking yourself these questions. And I know that's the reality for actually a lot of people in the room. And even whilst going through this, I eventually found the church and I got connected into the church. And I could always refer to God as Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But I always struggled with the concept of Father. And one 6 p.m. service, it was a prayer night, and we had some of the staff standing at the front. And I remember I was sitting over there, and I was like, oh, do you know what? Let me just go. I wasn't asking for anything specific. So I went and I went to the front. And I was like, yo, and Chris was actually the one who prayed for me. And I went to Chris, and he's like, how can I pray for you? I was like, oh, just pray for me. And as he was praying for me, he said, God, even though he might not have a physical father, God, I pray, Lord, that this young man can realize that he's got a father in heaven. And I was like, so I went to my friend who invited me. I said, did you tell him my life story? Like, what did you tell him? He's like, no, dude, I didn't tell him anything. And then I recognized in that moment that actually God had put so many father figures in my life. God had put so many parents in my life that I couldn't even realize. I thought back, man, the first time I learned how to ride a bike, there was one of our neighbors, when I bought my bike, he said, hey, come, let me teach you how to ride a bike. The first time I learned how to swim, it was one of my neighbors, actually a different neighbor this time. We were just out at the beach, and he was like, hey, dude, let's just throw you in. I'm like, no, let's not do it. Sink or swim, guys, sink or swim. But I realized God had put so many father figures around me. And I want to encourage all the older people in the room, rather. I want to encourage you that you can be a mentor. You can be a disciple to a young man, a young woman who might have maybe not grown up with the father, or maybe they might have grown up with the parent that was there, but they actually weren't present. You have the opportunity to disciple them. You have an opportunity to walk the journey with them. And it was only the moment when Chris prayed for me, when I could forgive my father, that I could recognize my father in heaven. So I want to encourage you. Let's be disciples. Let's look after our next generation. I love what Pastor Andre always says. He says, when you don't forgive, that's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Number 7, we fight for young people to serve others. We fight for young people to serve others. I believe that our destiny is linked in serving others. Our future is brighter when the next generation doesn't serve themselves, but instead they serve others. You live in freedom when you selflessly serve others. We should be serving church. And on one of our team meetings, Pastor Andre shared this perspective, and I've never thought of it like this, but when Jesus had turned water into wine, who was most impacted by that? It was the people that were serving. They witnessed the miracle. It wasn't the person who was sort of sitting and waiting for the wine to come. It was the person who was serving that was most impacted by the miracle. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 to 11 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. How do we serve God? By serving his people, by serving the next generation. Number 8, can I get the keys up? We need to fight for purity. Fight for purity. And Matt 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We need to make sure that our hearts are pure. We need to put practices in place that keep our hearts pure. Now, who's ever been in a space where actually you've felt like your heart's a little bit hard. It's a little bit unpure. And who knows, at that space, you can easily feel shame, guilt, anger. But what I love about our God is that he's a God of restoration. That he restores you. He can restore a hard heart. God wants to restore you. But I believe that even as he wants to restore you, you and I need to build habits of purity. We need to build habits of purity. And the best way to do it is by putting guardrails. So it's like walking on the edge of a mountain. And suddenly as your maybe your younger brother or your child or whoever it may be, making sure that they've got guardrails in their life. Because if they're not, it's like walking on the edge of the mountain. And if the wind blows, they fall off. Suddenly with guardrails, if the wind blows from here, actually, they go on the wrong website or something pops up on their Instagram. Even if the wind blows, they don't fall off the mountain. But instead, they can move further in. We need to put guardrails in our life. Number 9, we need to fight for our youth. We need to fight for our youth. 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Young people, you are the future. You are the future, and we need to live lives that glorify God. We need to live lives in love, in faith, in purity. We set the example. And I believe you might be asking, okay, cool, how can I maybe serve the next generation? Bringing it close to home. How do I serve the next generation in our church? 3 things you can do. You can come serve in one of the next generation spaces. We've got View Kids that happens on a Sunday, which is ages 2 to 12. Friday nights, we've got View Rep in the building from grade 4 to 6. And then Friday nights again, after View Rep, we've got View City, which is from grade 7 to 12. You can come serve in these spaces. Second thing is you can give towards youth. You can give towards our next gen environments. The third thing is you can invite to our next gen environments. I believe that even if you might not have kids, or all of us know someone with kids. All of us know of someone who has kids that are not plugged in the church. We can invite those kids to a life-giving next gen environment. And there's 3 things that all our services across View Kids, View Rep, you see, there's 3 kids that are guaranteed. They're guaranteed to hear the word of God. They're guaranteed to get into worship. And they're guaranteed to get into community. Those are the 3 things that they're guaranteed to experience. So let's invite to youth. And the 10th thing is we fight for honor. That are young people, we're going to raise up young people that are going to be God-fearing and honoring. Young people that are going to honor above, they're going to honor to their side, and they're going to honor below. Young people that are going to respect authority, that are going to respect others. Young people that are going to honor. There might be some of you where I've just gone through all these 10 things that are like, that you might be stuck on the first one. You might be stuck on fighting for God. And you might have, maybe not, you might not have a relationship with God this evening. I want to give you that opportunity now. If that's you and you're saying, actually, Sabella, I don't have a relationship with God. Or, I do, but I've sort of drifted away. If that's you in this room, with everyone's eyes closed, if that's you in this room, you're saying, I've drifted away from God. I don't have a relationship with God. I want to give you an opportunity this evening to put God in His rightful place in your life. You might be saying, before I even serve the next generation, I first need to stop my relationship with God. If that's you, let's just want to pop up your hand so that we can see you. Everyone's eyes closed. Awesome. I see that hand. I see that hand. Awesome. Awesome. I see that hand as well. See that hand. See that hand. Awesome. I see that hand. Church, you can repeat after me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe that you died and rose on the third day. Through this belief and this confession, the Bible says that I'm saved, that I'm changed, that I'll never be the same. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, and all of God's precious children said, amen. Come on.
Awesome. Come on, let's just thank Sabelo. Sabelo is doing an incredible job with youth. And for all our kids church team, youth team, in March, from of course Sunday church, and then youth on Fridays, we consistently saw in March we averaged 1,021 young people at church every week. So I think that's incredible. And of course, we've got a big vision for the next generation. And of course, we've got a big vision for every generation. But we also understand that the older we get, the more mature we are. Hey, it's God's pattern. Hey, when you were young, you forgot to shower, put deodorant on, all the young guys, and you met a girl and thought, geez, that's a good idea. I better start using deodorants if I want to talk to this girl. And of course, then of course you start listening to music she likes. You used to just listen to music you like, because you like her. And then of course, one day you have kids and then you just listen to Barney music and watch. Hey, anyone know that? And of course, a lot of people get frustrated, but that's the pattern of life. And then you become a parent. Next year, you're a grandparent. You're praying for your grandkids. And people get frustrated with that. And then they go, the church should never be that. No, that's a mature church. We get filled with God and we pour it out the next generation. And I want to encourage you. John Maxwell says, if you run a race and you don't pass the baton on properly, you lose the race. You have to think about that. A lot of people somehow go, it's my time to run the race now. No, you understand. God's not made you to be an island. You've still got a baton that you're passing on. And if you drop it, you lose the race because you're not running an individual race. Yes, God's got a lane for you, but He's partnered you. You're part of the body of Christ. And listen, we see it all the time. I have people, they say, we've had it a few times. And even in Malpus, people go, we want to leave the church. We're going to go to this experience. Do you mind if my kids stay here? I'm going, you've lost your vision. You make it all about your experience. But you need to, I had a friend in Ireland. He got this massive preaching deal to go overseas. And he told me, I'm going to be here. And I said, but hey, you've got like this many kids and you got a wife. Yeah. I said, I believe God's dream, that's a small dream. I said, the dream God has for you will always include your wife and your kids. That sounds like a small dream if it just impacts you. And I want to let you know, if God's given you a dream to go have an experience and your kids don't want to come, you are choosing a very small dream. If you want to be part of a church and your kids don't want to go there, you're choosing a very small step that I don't believe is a God step. The God step always includes the next generation and it impacts them. And the pastor back, it's way bigger than you. So I encourage you, I just want to keep stepping, to think outside of yourself. And you know, I've been a pastor here for years, but my biggest thing in the church is that I know that my daughters need to see me serving. That's why, listen, when people tell me, can my child stay? I say, no, you can, because I need to understand that people are going, you don't get it, you've missed it. So I'm not going to back a small plan. I'm only going to back a big plan. And I call it out. I say, hey, no, you can't happen. Why? Well, no. The first prize for you is to see your children saved and flourishing. That's your first prize if you're a parent and if you're a grandparent. So I'm always going to call you to that. I'm not going to call you to a small plan where it's you winning and your children losing. Okay, so let's keep building the church. Listen, if you're new, you can grab your first coffee. We prayed over those coffees. They anointed people who drink those coffees for more in love with Jesus. They say, thank you, Jesus, for this coffee. So you can grab your first coffee outside there. Growth Track this Tuesday. If you haven't done Growth Track, we'd love to meet you. It's your first step in the life of the church. Can everyone just quickly look to the side? You'll see an open door. If you put your hand up or you prayed that salvation prayer, I encourage you to take a next step. Tell somebody that you prayed that prayer and you actually asked Jesus to come to your life. Maybe it's a recommitment and they're going to pray with you and tell you about a foundational step. If you need any prayer in any way, you can also make your way there. And yeah, our prayer team can help you. Have an awesome week. God bless you guys.